The dating of these texts, which you say are, you know, roughly 12,500 years ago, 10,000 plus years B.C., what did they talk about in terms of events that were occurring?
Oh, they talked about a certain group of entities that had came down and that had given them certain pieces of information. For an example, one of the fellows that had came down, he gave them the ability to have a written language. Another fellow that came down gave them things like swords and shields and makeup and mirrors. The key to the whole thing that I just gave you was the written language and the mirrors.
And the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of the mirror?
Well, at that time, it was a long walk to get from point A to point B. So what they were able to do is they would take a piece of copper and polish it up nice and bright, and then they would use a liquid metal, quicksilver, the name of my book, Quicksilver Key. That quicksilver would act like, have you ever soldered a connection with a soldering iron?
Sure have.
And have that lead get all nice and liquidy.
Shiny.
And
yep.
Then it touches that copper and it adheres to that copper. It's called amalgam. The difference between lead and mercury is that mercury is already in a liquid form. When it hits the copper, it turns that bright, shiny color and turns that piece of copper into a mirror in about 30 seconds. With a mirror, what they would do, as you know, that when sunlight will reflect off a mirror, and mm-hmm. you can redirect that sunlight. So what those fellas did is they were able to use that to redirect the light from mountaintop to mountaintop. And at that point, they would use a eyelid. I'll call it an eyelid for a reason a little bit later, to blink a similar to what's called a Morse code, where a dot dash type of program.
So it was for communication purposes.
Absolutely. And because of the ability to have communication. Now, for an example, I'm going to go a little bit further ahead in time to a time in the last century here in the United States. We had a war with the Apaches. And the Apaches had gone out and they had started cutting the telegraph wires. So we didn't have as fast as communications as we
right.
should have had.
Right.
What they ended up doing is General Miles went out and put together what is called a heliograph system. What that was a mirrored system. It had two mirrors that they were able to take the light's reflection from the sun, direct it onto a mirror, and then take another mirror and redirect that to the location where the troops were, and be able to send a Morse code message to the troops, letting them know where the enemy was at and what the enemy was doing.
And I bet that was over miles, wasn't it?
That was over miles. That was a very good pun there. And his General Miles went out, and he negotiated with Cochise. And he said, we've got a great communication system. And he told him about steam and a few other odds and ends. And he says, and we have the heliograph. Well, Cochise said, yes, I have seen the blinks of lights on the mountains, and we thought they were gods. So what Miles did is he sent a message hundreds of miles away where Cochise's brother was at. And at that point, they received the message back in just a matter of hours that would have taken 20 days for a man on a fast pony to get there. When Cochise got that message, he sent one of his riders to Natchez and says, Natchez, get down here to surrender because there's something here I don't understand,
mm-hmm.
and I need you here because we can't win. The thing is, that same principle went all the way back to 12,000 years ago.
Now, the individuals who brought this gift in series of items down to us, Were they the same ones depicted in the Sumerian texts that Zechariah Sitchin has written about?
Yes, they were, but I'm going to plead ignorance. I've never read Zechariah Sitchin, so I don't know all of the different things in the Samaritan Sumerian text.
Well, which is going to make this even more remarkable tonight, West, because you will give us a different perspective on events that are being substantiated by other sources as well, and that's important.
I always believe if you haven't got at least six different cross-references, you haven't done your homework.
Okay, so these texts, where are they now physically?
Oh, well, one of the original texts is at, when I say original, I'll get to that aspect of it in a little bit. They are in, one came from Qumran Cave 4. That's in the in Israel near the Dead Sea, and then it had been brought back to Jerusalem, and it's in one of their museums at this point.
Was this part of the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Absolutely, that was one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, dated to 200 years before Christ.
All right.
Now, one of the things with these texts is in the Hebrew language they would have a alphanumeric code. And what that meant was every letter had a code. So the first letter of the alphabet would be 1, and then it would go down the list until it got to 10. Then it would jump from 10 to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200. And it would go down through the alphabetic code with that numeric value. Then they had a really unique way of making sure that the texts were accurate over the thousands of years that the texts were being written down. They would put in a line cipher. What a line cipher is a little code that tells you what the message totals up to be. So for an example, I'll give you a cute one. In the book of Isaiah, the 19th chapter, in the 19th and 20th verse, they have a total as of what those two verses are. It just happens to be the description of the Great Pyramid. And the grand total of those two scriptures happens to be the exact height in inches, which was the measurement that the Egyptians used to verify the length of how big something was going to be, the exact measurement from the base of the pyramid to the platform in exact inches. That's how precise they were with keeping their text.